So if you have your Bible with you, we ask that you would turn with us to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 4. And this might be a rather lengthy reading, but I think it kind of goes along with what's been done and what's been said in the services thus far. So starting in chapter 4 of the book of Proverbs, we're going to begin with the first verse. Now, this is by Solomon. Solomon, when he came to the throne in about 900 BC or thereabout, he prayed to God. He had a father that had established the kingdom, fought the battles for the Lord. He was a man after God's own heart. There was no doubt about it. He was an individual that loved God so much that he would do anything for him. Yet he was human, just like all of us. He made his mistakes. He made his misjudgments. But there was one thing about David. He loved God with every fiber of his being. And now this kingdom has been turned over to Solomon. And if you read Solomon's prayer in one place, you'll find Solomon did not pray and ask for great riches. He did not ask for military conquest to go and spread an empire throughout all of the Middle East. Solomon asked for one thing from God. You know what that was? It was wisdom to know how to guide and how to lead God's people. So we begin with the first verse. Hear ye, children, the instruction of a father, and attend to knowing understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law, for I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, my commandments, and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, that is, forsake not wisdom, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. For wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor. When thou dost embrace her, and she shall give to thine hand an ornament of grace, a crown of glory, shall she deliver to thee. And hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest thy steps, shalt thou not be straitened. And when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction, and let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not into the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it, and pass away. For they, that is the wicked, those that hate God, those that need salvation and don't realize as of yet they need salvation. For he says this about them, they sleep not except they have done mischief. And their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness, drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Now the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to their flesh. And then our text will come from this last verse of scripture that we will read in your hearing today. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it, that is out of the heart, come all the issues of life. When God created mankind, he created him with an ability to detect and to feel God's presence. Now, you'll find some people that will say, well, man kind of evolved from a lower form, and he's nothing more than an animal. Well, God did create the animals, and he did create man, but he did something different with man. He put into man the capability of being able to be aware of God. Now, you might say today, well, what about the atheists? Do you know that in their denial of God, they're acknowledging God? I've never understood why so many of them feel the way that they do, in that they go and they debate against the people of God, and they stand, they have rallies and so on and so forth. And I got to thinking one day, you know, if I was an atheist and I really believed that there is no God, yeah, you all go on your way. But you see, there's a pricking of the conscience there. Because even though a person can deny God, that does not mean that God does not exist. That does not mean that God lives. And it tells us that he has put into man a heart. Now, what is a heart today? We always think of a heart as being that huge muscle within the middle of the chest that's able to send blood and to purify blood and so on and so forth. We think of it anatomically that way or in a medical way. But actually, the heart is something more than that. This that we speak about is not just flesh, it's not just vessels and so on and so forth, but the heart is the actual center of mankind. It is the doorway, if you will, that all of the thoughts come into, all that we see, all that we observe, all that we hear, all that we think about. It's kind of like a two-way street. What comes into the heart, and we'll be repeating this several times, what comes into the heart comes out of the heart. I took a computer class one time, probably one of the most difficult and foolish things I ever did, because back then they used cards with punched holes in them, so that dates me. But I did learn one thing from the instructor. He said, garbage in, garbage out. That's all I got out of that class. To be quite honest with you. And you know, I got to thinking about it, and that's the way that it is with us. You put garbage into us, and what is going to come out? Garbage. It doesn't reform. It settles in there. It becomes and can become ingrained within us. That's why that Solomon taught his son, I believe it was Rehoboam, taught his son, be careful, get wisdom, get understanding, do all of these things, because you're going to have everything that's going to be coming at you. You're going to hear this, you're going to hear that, you're going to think this, you're going to think that, you're going to see this, you're going to hear this. And it's going to lodge within your heart. It is the center of our being. It is through the heart that God speaks and that God works and that God redeems. And it's also the means by which that we take ideas into us and we take thoughts into us and we hear this and we hear that. And I want to say this today. I don't know what to believe anymore as far as what's going on out in the world. Now, you may not agree with me, but I don't know. I have come to the place to where this is all I know. The truth of God's Word, the truth that God has laid down and God has commanded us to take into our heart. Now, the heart is such that he wrote and he said, keep thy heart with all diligence. In other words, guard thy heart. You know, whenever that they constructed cities back in that day and in that time, they had high walls all around it. And then they had a gate that was the way to go into the center of the city. And this was the place where that they would guard it. They wouldn't let certain people in. They wouldn't let just anybody in unless they had permission of the king or it was something that was going to benefit that kingdom. That's how it is with our heart. We build a wall around it, not to keep people out, but to guard what God has put in there. You know, today, you're going to get ideas. As I said in the beginning, you're going to get ideas from all kinds of sources. And it's going to become more and more difficult as time goes on to know what to believe, to know what is the truth. It's almost like whenever that Jesus stood before Pilate and Jesus talked about the truth and Pilate was perplexed and he said, what is truth? And that's how that it is today. The question is, what is truth? But it is the things that are being done today come into our heart. They come into our ears. And believe it or not, it lodges in there. Now, boy, there's some things that I went through as a kid. I hope it never comes out. And you can ask my wife that when I'm under anesthesia, no telling what I say. Now, I don't say anything profane, but they told me, and I had to take their word for it, that one minute I was singing Amazing Grace, and then the next minute I was singing a Beatles song, and so, or singing about the clouds. Some of them said you were singing about the clouds and everything, so no telling what will come out. But that's how that it is. Whatever that you put into there, it kind of stays there. It's kind of lodged there. It becomes ingrained there today. And Jesus said in one place, out of the abundance of the heart, he said, the mouth speaketh. Out of the abundance of what is in the heart, what you've taken into the center of yourself, that gateway, if you will, that is what is going to come out. And so he goes on and he says the same thing in the book of Luke. And he gave an illustration on that in the book of Luke in the 45th verse of the 6th chapter of the book of Luke. He said, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. But then on the other hand, an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Now there's no in between. I know that the society culture teaches that there's a gray area. There's no gray area with God. It is either right or it is wrong. No in between. It is either against God's laws, against God's favor, against God's goodness, against God's plan, against what God is trying to do for the good of man, or it is for him all the way. And I want you to know that as the time goes on, we're going to have to stand. And I'm not advocating politics or anything. We're going to have to stand for God. Someone will ask me, said, well, which party are you? I'm Jesus' party. I'm Christ's party. That's who I'm for today. I'm for what is right, what is correct today. But he goes on and he says that out of the abundance of the mouth, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Now the world will tell you, follow your inclinations. Follow your heart. Why, nobody's going to know. And everybody else must be right because everyone else is doing it, the majority. But do you know today, the majority is not always right. They can stand against the very promises of God, the dictates of God, and it's wrong. But what should we do? God says, guard your heart. Be careful what you take in. Be careful what you are exposed to. Because in the condition of the heart, as time goes on, this is going to direct the life that God has given you. It's going to direct you either to destruction, or it's going to direct you towards eternal life or a life for God. No in between. There's two pathways. Broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. But straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Just two gates, just two pathways today. And you know, I realize as I say this, I probably sound like a broken record as I say these things, but you know, it's almost a necessity for us to get a hold of it again and be renewed. Paul said in one place, be renewed in your mind. Renew your mind day by day. I heard that one of these young sisters goes out and reads her Bible every day. You keep doing it. And every one of us keep doing it. Because I want you to know that's the only thing that's going to stand whenever that we come down to the finality of it. The heart is the source of consequences. Consequences. There are consequences to actions. You know, you can look at the natural law of science, and it says for every action, there's an equal reaction. Very basic. But it's that same way in the spiritual realm. There are consequences to behavior. There are consequences to lifestyle. And this is the thing that Satan will mask and that Satan will try to hide from people. And we see it today, that there are going to be consequences for what you choose, what you take into your heart today. It reflects what is there. You know, if someone speaks bad all the time, and you can kind of sort that out as to what is good and what is bad in speech, if a person speaks bad all the time, it tells what's in that person's heart. And I want to tell you something. The Bible tells us in one place, by thy words, thou shalt be judged. Not necessarily you're going to stand in judgment alone before Almighty God at the great white throne judgment, but I want you to know that everybody who's looking at your life is going to be judging by the words that are spoken, and they're going to conclude as to what's in the heart. You speak that which is good. You speak that which is of God. You speak that that is of Christ and His redeeming power and His shed blood for the atonement of sin. And people are going to conclude, this person must be saved. This person must know God. But if bad is spoken, they'll conclude, well, you know what? I don't know if I want to know what more is in his heart. Because it may be worse than what I've heard. I say this today about a friend. No, it's not Brother Terry Nicodemus. He's a friend, all right. He's a character, too. But at any rate, it's not about him, but about another minister. And I use him as an example of what not to do. When he's in the pulpit, he's great. He's wonderful. I mean, he can bring it right down, as they say, to the lower level. Put those cookies on the lower shelf where people can get a hold of them and be blessed. But out in the world, you would not know. You would not know that he was a Christian, let alone a preacher. And I don't believe every report that comes to me sometimes. You have to sort that out. That's part of the process of guarding your heart. Be careful of the information you take in and what you believe. But the report came back, and I asked this individual that was talking to me about him. I said, well, did you know Brother so-and-so is a preacher? And his mouth fell open. He said, you sure couldn't tell it by his speech. You know, we're Christians 24/7. Did you know that? Not just whenever that we get here to church, but you've been called unto a vocation. You've been called unto a calling, a holy calling. And it's not that you're being pious or not that you're being better than anyone else, but you're to reflect. There's not to be anything there that would block the reflection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The greatest compliment that you could get is someone to say you are Christ-like. That's something to work towards. Why Christ-like? Because you talk about Christ. You act like Him. You do this and you do that. And it's not that we're trying to take the Lord's place in any way, but, you know, we do have Him dwelling within us. We do have His Spirit within our heart. And I want to tell you something. There's not room in the heart for Christ and for Satan. Amen? There's dangers that are out in the world today to corrupt our heart. Am I worried for myself? Now, I can't judge anyone else. I don't know. I just know myself. But one of the things that always worries me and bothers me, Lord, do not, please, keep me from doing something that would bring disgrace to your name, or would bring dishonor unto you, or would kill the testimony of how that you saved my soul and called me to preach your word. Don't let me do it, please. And you know, sometimes we cannot control the thoughts that come in randomly into our mind. I heard a preacher say one time, it's like this. He said, you know, you can't keep the birds from going over your head, but you can sure keep them from building a nest in your hair. And that's so true today. Now, I'm not picking on people that don't have hair, but I'm saying this. That's like the thoughts that come to us. And you know, it's not so much the thoughts, it's if you entertain the thoughts, you keep the thoughts there, you begin to speculate on the thoughts, you begin to say, well, you know what? Maybe I can just, you know, kind of go ahead and do this, but I'm under grace, so, you know, I'm not going to lose my salvation or anything like that. But you know, that's where that it begins. It begins there in our social media. It's put there by our social media. And I'm not picking on them. You know, everything can be used for the devil. Anything. Those benches. I hope not. But those benches could be used for the devil. The roadway could be used for the devil. It's when it's used for God that it's beneficial. And I believe today, you know, if the Apostle Paul was here, he would be on the internet, but he would be expounding the gospel and telling a lost and dying world that they need to be saved. But also, what we see in film, what we see in television, now I'm not here, I'm not going to rail on that. But, you know, some of our information comes with that. We get the idea, well, this is the way that it's supposed to be. This is the way we're supposed to live. This is our lifestyle now, and we're going to accept it, and we're going to do it. And, you know, maybe it's not bad. You know, maybe I've misjudged and, you know, done something bad. But I want to tell you something. You have to go back to the Word of God and look and see, is this right? Is this correct? Is this according to what God has said? And you've got to screen that, because once those thoughts, images, sounds, whatever the case might be, they will begin to shape our thoughts, our what we believe, and what we and pretty soon, you can't tell the difference between us and between the world. It's in darkness. Temptation. that kind of goes along with the media. It's out there. Now, back in the day of the Apostle Paul, they didn't have that, but they had images. They had images depicting some pretty vile things. In fact, one of the archaeologists, I can't talk, but one of the archaeologists that went in to Pompeii, he opened up some of the homes. And he wouldn't let his students who were in on the dig, that's what they call excavating artifacts. He wouldn't let them go in and look on the walls. You know why? Because he said it depicted things that you would find in Hustler magazine and in Playboy and so on and so forth, even more vile than that. And sometimes whenever that you look at those frescoes, they've had to blot some things out. That's what their mind was upon. That's what a person's mind can be fixed on. And pretty soon they become dulled to it. And they think that it is right. And then that's where that the gray area starts to come in. An unchecked thought. A failure to turn away. To keep your eyes off of something. Or to look away from something. It becomes a seed that is planted by Satan that he can use. And it's not so much you're going to die without God. If you've been saved with the grace of God, you're saved forever. But it can kill your influence. And I say this in love. You might say, Brother Colfer didn't preach a very encouraging sermon, but brother, I want to tell you something today. I worry over you. I worry over what you're exposed to. I mean it. I'm serious. I worry about I've got confidence in you. But you know how easy that it is that we can turn our opinion and turn our thoughts about what is definitely right and what is definitely wrong. And I'll say this, and I know it'll probably go on YouTube. God created male. God created female. Amen. He didn't create an in-between. Now, there's some people that are born with conditions. I understand that. I've studied that. And those are rare instances. But whenever that an individual wants to change the various state that he was born with, God gave him that gender, he gave him that sex, he gave it to male and to female, and there's a reason, there's a purpose to it today. And I want to tell you something. I'm not saying that it's going to be the destruction of a country, but I want to tell you it will cause mass confusion to where nobody knows what's right. Nobody knows what's wrong. Everything is relative. If it's your truth, you go with that truth. If it's my truth, don't you criticize my truth. That's where it heads. And I'm not against people that are of a persuasion like that. I pray God open their eyes and let them see before that it's everlastingly too late. You might say, well, I hate those people. I worry about that attitude more than them. But I want to tell you something today. We're to love not the sin, but the sinner. That's what Jesus did. But he told it like it was. He did not back up from telling the Pharisees that they were a bunch of snakes. Can you imagine going into a church? If I went into a church and walked up to the pastor and said, you snake, you. Can you imagine that? Jesus would do it. Not to be mean or anything, but to tell the truth. They were a brood of vipers in that day and in that time. Discouragement and fear. We're discouraged this morning in some respects over the events that have taken place in the past month. We were up in Minneapolis visiting our middle son, and it was almost like there was a cloud over the area, over what had happened at that school, where that there were two children whose lives were needlessly taken, and others wounded, and not just wounded, wounded for life. because they'll remember that. They'll be as averse to ever going into an institution again without the thought, is this going to be it? Will I suffer again? Fear. Discouragement. Let me tell you something today, child of God. We've got everything to live for, and we have here the answer to the world's problems. And you might say, Brother Kofi, you are very idealistic. You are very up there on a pedestal and so on and so forth. You don't know what the real world is like. I've got a good idea, and I come back to this and say, here's the solution that has been deserted for many decades. And I'm not being mean or critical, but it's truth today. When a people turn away from God, they've made their choice. And I fear for our country. I fear for our country. But do not be discouraged. Do not be fearful. I quoted to the brethren back in the back a little while ago about these end times that we're in. And yes, we're in the end times. But I quoted to him, you know what Jesus said about it in his sermons? He said, when you see these things come to pass, what are we to do? Now, I would go hide in a cave. But he said to look up and see that your redemption is drawing nigh. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back, my friend. And when we see it get worse and worse and worse in our society and men rejecting it, rejecting it, rejecting it, that's how that it was in the days of Noah. But my friend, we are safe within the ark of salvation if we've been saved by the grace of God. And praise be unto God today. He's coming back. He's coming back one day. We're going to see him. My prayer, selfish prayer, is, Lord, let me be standing on the earth whenever that the eastern sky splits open, whenever that the stars fall from the sky, whenever that the clouds roll back, and the millions upon millions upon millions of his dominion and of his power follow the King of Kings and Lord of Lords into this atmosphere once again and to this earth, not to be crucified, not to be put upon a cross, but my friend, to establish righteousness and justice. And I want to tell you, his justice will be correct, and there'll be no disputing his judgments. Amen? You say, Brother Kofi, you go around amening yourself. Y'all see me out and about, and I get a thought on my mind, and I'll amen myself. Kind of startles people whenever I do that. But at any rate, discouragement and fear. Don't be discouraged today. These things have been told to us. But my friend, it means that our Lord is coming back. He's coming back. He's coming back. Repeat after me. Jesus is coming back.
Jesus is coming back.
Do you believe it?
Yes.
Do you believe it?
Yes.
I believe it. I know you do. Get ready for false teaching. There is so much perversion of the gospel today that the Bible says if it were possible to fool the elect, it would be done. Don't believe every doctrine that's hatched. Don't believe every one that goes about saying, here is Christ. Follow this individual, or here is Christ, or send your money to me and I'll show you Christ. No, no. He said, take up your cross and follow me. And I want you to know, my friend, if you want to know what we believe, I'll preach a sermon to you out of the scriptures, based upon the scriptures as to what we believe and what we affirm to be true and what we affirm that the Bible says and what we affirm that the gospel is for. There's so many voices today that are claiming to speak for God. I mean, they're hatched out just right and left. You almost have to keep up with them because some people will actually embrace that and get a hold of it and think it's the truth. And we must be ready for that. Not everybody that says unto me, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not done many wonderful works? Do you know what God's got to say about that? Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. You hatched that religion up yourself. Now, I'm not being critical. I'm just telling you what the Word of God teaches today. Guard your heart. And it's going to be more and more important as time goes on. Guard what goes in. Now, I'm not saying you judge it, but you guard your heart. How do you guard your heart? These young ladies are young sisters. Prime example. I'm sure Bella also here. Read the Word of God, 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 read the Word of God. Let it be a measuring tool against whatever may come up. Is it according to Scripture? Is it according to what God laid down in His laws? Is it according to His Word? Is it according to Jesus Christ? Study, the Bible says, to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightfully dividing the word of truth. Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and these are they that speak of me. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder soul and spirit, joint from marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and of the hearts of men. More and more as time goes on, we need to be into the Word. Pray without ceasing. You might say, I wish somebody would turn off that repeated phrase he uses. Pray without ceasing. Well, it's still true today. Paul said over in Thessalonians, pray without ceasing. Do not stop praying. Take everything to God. You don't understand what is taking place out here in this cosmos, in this society, and in this culture. Take it to God and ask God to help you to understand and to navigate these dark waters. And let the peace of God reign in your heart. Now, you'll say, well, preacher, I don't know that there's much peace. I'm not going to get much sleep after you brought all this. Oh, yes, you can. The peace of Christ Jesus that dwells in your heart in salvation will keep you at peace and will keep you calm. The British used to have an interesting saying. In fact, I've got a bookmarker that says it. This was during World War II, when they were getting bombed mercilessly by Nazis and fascists. These people out here don't know what a Nazi and a fascist is. This is what the British did. And you know they got through every blitz, every attack. Keep calm and carry on. Keep calm in the Lord and carry on. Keep calm in the Lord and carry on. God bless you is my prayer. I probably already kept you too long. I could go on another hour. But I love you all. And I am so thankful today that I can stand. Now, after today, you may not want me around much. Boy, he's a discouraging fellow. But I want to tell you something. The victory's already been won. You read in the book of the Revelation what happens to the beast. What happens to the false prophet? What happens to the dragon? Where do they go? Into the very bowels of hell that God has prepared for them. That's victory. Victory was first won at Calvary whenever that Jesus crushed the head of the serpent by his death upon the cross. That set us all free. And if the Son shall make you free, you're free indeed. I'm about to preach another sermon. So.